the fatal flaw. Strong words. When you're talking about what's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals in 2019, you saw this story over the weekend. It came from Will Brinson of CBS Sports. And he wrote, it's hard to find a truly fatal flaw for this team because no one expects them to be good. You could go with the offensive line for sure. It was one of the worst units in football last year. And while it's improved, it's not some outstanding group yet. I would be fine if you said pressure generally because of what the selection of Kyler Murray does to this team. Instead, I'll take the coach. Cliff Kingsbury is, by all accounts, very smart and very good at what he does scheming up offenses. But he's also a first-year NFL head coach going up against the best of the best when it comes to defensive coordinators. If for some reason he can't manage to translate his abilities to the NFL level, this could get very ugly very quickly. Is it fair to call Cliff Kingsbury the fatal flaw of what looks like a potentially very flawed football team to begin with?
It's unfair to call him the fatal flaw. Because a flaw is something that you could detect. You already know. I don't know if this is a flaw. I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury may work. I mean, they hired him, so it would work. They didn't hire him, so it would be a flaw. An offensive line that has struggled and has injury issues and stuff, okay, that could be a flaw. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury getting fired in college isn't a flaw. He hasn't been an NFL head coach yet. We haven't seen his offense. We haven't seen... I mean, if this offense is a disaster, okay, we'll call it a flaw. But right now, I think it's unfair. It's a question mark. I mean, in simple terms, it's a question mark whether this can work or not. But it's not a flaw yet.
Until you've seen him try it and see if
how can you say that that's a flaw yet? He might come in and light this freaking league on fire with Kyler Murray and his offense. We don't know.
We don't. But let me. I thought about this since the last time we talked about it. Be honest with me. In your opinion, what is the more realistic scenario? That Cliff Kingsbury comes in, rolls out an offense that the NFL has never seen before, and lights it up in year one? Or is it more likely that Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to adjust to defensive coordinators and defensive players who have been doing it at this level a lot longer, and it might struggle at first?
All right. I'm going to give you an honest answer here.
Okay.
I think it's more likely the first one. Because that's what happened with Chip Kelly. Like, they caught up to Chip Kelly. They figured it out. But in the beginning, it was like, oh, my. Do you remember the first game we watched it together?
I do.
Oh, my God. How's anybody going to stop this guy? Chip Kelly's first football game. It was like a Monday night football game,
yes,
I think.
Michael Vick.
I think it's more likely that nobody knows what this guy's going to bring. I think he's going to catch people by surprise in the first year. And then it will be up to defensive coordinators to adjust and figure out, how do I contain this freaking quarterback who just ran for 700 yards? How do I contain these speedy wide receivers who will run a 4-3 or a 4-4? Like, I think that the advantage is his. And I know it may sound crazy.
Wow. Okay.
I think the advantage.
Not crazy. I disagree with it. I don't. I think the far more likely scenario is that, I mean, look, Bruce Arians came in here. He was an experienced NFL offensive coordinator who had been in this league for decades.
Mm-hmm.
His team struggled at first to get the rhythm, get the timing, understand it, figure out what they were doing. If that happened with Bruce Arians' offense...
Carson Palmer's first year was terrible, right?
The first half of his first year was terrible. He figured it out about halfway through. I think the far more likely outcome is that it's going to take Cliff a while to adjust to the league and not the league a while to adjust to Cliff. I think that is the far.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't make it a fatal
flaw. Right. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to think that teams are not going to know how to stop this kid early.
I think there's going to be success right out of the gates.
Well, because we've seen a lot of predictions. 3,500 yards passing, 560 rushing. I mean, they're talking about this kid putting up like historic type numbers for a rookie quarterback, like really big numbers for a rookie quarterback. Josh Rosen was blah. There was never a great game. I think this kid has the ability to light it up. Now, again, I think a lot of things have to fall in line, but I think that the advantage is, all right, let me take what I'm, okay, from when my boxing days ended and I started managing fighters, I managed some world champions. Man, it was a lot easier for me to sit there and look at the tape of the opponent when Kevin Kelly was fighting Derek Smoke Gaynor, and I could look at an opponent and I could watch that with him and with his trainers, and we could go over everything. And I know, okay, now I know everything he's going to do. than to have the unconventional guy. There's not a lot of film on him. He hasn't had that. That guy was a lot harder to prepare for. I think in the beginning, it's going to be harder to prepare for Cliff because there's nothing out there. You don't know. Cliff's, and it's not like Cliff coached Kyler in college, and you could go back and look at those tapes of what Kyler did under Cliff. So that's why I think the advantage, a little bit, I'm using the Chip Kelly angle.
Okay.
A little bit like Chip Kelly in the beginning, I think it worked for Chip in the beginning until everybody caught on.
We will agree to disagree on this one, because I think it's going to take a while. I think it's fair to expect that it might be a struggle at first. By the way, what would you tell that boxer who dropped his left and got clocked by that right hand?
Oh my God.
How would you coach up that guy? Who probably still does not know what day it is.
Okay, that guy should have never been in a ring against Deontay Wilder. Okay, that was one of the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen in my life. Like, honestly, you could kill somebody, you know, with that punch. Dominique Brazil is the guy. He dropped his left and he got hit with an overhand right that I'm surprised it didn't kill him.
It hit him flush.
I watched
and hard in the head, and I don't know how he got up from that. I really don't.
Trust me, somebody who's punched in the head as many times as I was, like, I've never been hit like that. I mean, that was like you. That is a pitcher. It's like, you know, when you hit a baseball and you get all of it.
Sure.
That is the perfect. I am throwing a punch. It's exactly the time that you're dropping your left hand and I am hitting you with all of my might and all of my power. My hips and everything's turning into the punch. I mean, that was first round knockout was unreal.
Back to the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury today. 4 wide receiver sets. How often are you going to use them?
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be, you know, adjusting to this level in this game. And there's going to be things we can do and we can't do. And we understand that as an offensive staff. And so we're still working through all of that.
We'll see.
We'll see.
What's your philosophy on play calling?
I mean, I'm sure it's similar to every offense coordinator, play caller. We just try to do things that we think the defense will struggle with. And if it's run it every play, we'll run it every play. And if we got to throw it a bunch, we'll do that as well. But basically take what they give you.
One more from Cliff Kingsbury today after OTAs. Is it realistic for you to be in the shotgun 80% of the time? Listen to his answer here. It is a little nuanced.
I'm not sure. That's another thing we're working through to see what the best balance for us was. You know, last year Kansas City was 80% plus, and they were decent on offense. So, not bad. So we'll see. Whatever fits our team best is what we're going to do.
You pointed this out earlier. There was a little bit more of an answer to that question than there was beyond the we'll see. He started off with the we'll see.
With the Kansas City.
But he gave us the Kansas City example as if to say, hey, it worked for them. You know, nobody's ripping Andy Reid for going shotgun 80% of the time with Patrick Mahomes. Why can't we do it? Who says we can't do it?
Well, they'll be in that shotgun pistol. They'll be in it 80% of the time because that's what's going to work for this quarterback. That's what's going to work for him to see the feel, to get a little bit of an advantage. That's what's going to work. Now, obviously, they're not going to run it 100% of the time. Like, A.Q. Shipley said they're going to run it 99% of the time?
99% of the time. But he jokingly said they were going to be in a shotgun 99% of the time. I don't think he meant it. But.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot. Like, they're going to be in that a lot, so he gets a little bit of an advantage in seeing the defense.
The thing about OTAs, and I had forgotten about this, but I read this morning, is getting a read on exactly what this Cardinals offense is going to look like is very tough to determine from OTAs. You're not allowed to report on what you see. If you're a reporter and you're there covering the team, you're Bob McManaman, you're Darren Urban, you're Luke Lipinski. Did we have Lipinski out there today? We had Luke out there, right? You're Luke Lipinski. You're allowed to watch all of it. The Cardinals are cool. They don't kick you off the field. They let you watch practice. But anything that happens after the first 20 minutes, it's like Vegas. What happens on the Cardinals practice field stays on the Cardinals practice field. So the number
of times. Easy example is if they run a trick play and you say, hey, Cardinals ran a trick play where they faked the snap and they handed it like
if you're charting plays during practice and you say, by my count, the Arizona Cardinals ran, I'm using a hypothetical here, 25 of the 30 plays they ran, they were in the shotgun, so I estimate they're going to run the shotgun X amount of percentage this time. Can't say that. Not allowed to report that. You know, if you do, then they're not going to let you be on the field to watch. They want to keep that part a secret. So knowing truly, there will be people who will know what this offense will look like, but they're not allowed to say what this offense will look like.
Maybe that's why Jeff Fisher lost all those games with the Rams. Somebody was ratting him out.
Maybe.
That's why it couldn't go 7-9.
Maybe. Isn't Jeff Fisher Day coming up? Ah, it's about a month away still, right? A couple months away. Jeff Fisher Day is July 9th.
Is that the day?
Unless you go for June 10th. You know, June 10th could be Jeff Fisher Day, but July 9th is Jeff Fisher Day. Yeah. Diamondback's start to the season, it certainly surprised many, but their ability to keep it up is now the focus that we have. And that focus kind of has them in no man's land. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
We've established two things with the playing of this song.
Yes.
Number one.
No idea who the hell sang it.
Nobody knew who sang it until we looked it up. Number two, Gambo despises all the movies of Quentin Tarantino.
Hate them. Terrible movies.
It's a shame.
I know.
It's a real shame. We've even had an offer from one of our listeners for Bill Goodykoontz, the esteemed movie critic for AZ Central, to maybe help you out on like some movie appreciation lessons, for lack of a better word.
Tarantino, the guy's Italian. I should like his stuff. His movies are terrible.
You should really like his stuff.
I should like it.
You really should.
If they were any good, I'd like him. None of his movies are any good.
The question is, are the Arizona Diamondbacks trending towards the middle? And you asked the question when we were exchanging emails today. And, I mean, look, right now, the Diamondbacks, season ends today, which is a ridiculous thing to say, but we're going to say it anyway for the purposes of this conversation. Season ends today. They're not a playoff team. They miss it by like a half game. Okay, they're right there. They're right there at 25 and 22 or whatever they are. But if this thing keeps trending the other direction, shaky bullpen, shaky rotation, offense that is kind of hot and cold, right?
Three hits yesterday?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, look, if they won that game yesterday, we've got a totally different tone and context about the Diamondbacks that we're talking if that hit from Adam Jones gets through and Brandon Crawford doesn't make maybe the play of the day, but he didn't. The Diamondbacks are trending towards the middle. And the middle is a really tough place to be in Major League Baseball because what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to buy? Are you supposed to sell?
Well, the good news is,
do you do neither?
Yeah, good news is they got plenty of time. But where they are right now is they're probably a team. Like, if we gauge this team, they're probably going to hang around the race for a while. You know, barring anything crazy with injuries and stuff. I mean, we're past the, you know, the 25% mark in the season where they're a decent baseball team. They're better on the road than they are at home. They're not a great home team. And, you know, they're actually a little bit below. If you take out the Pirates, they're a below 500 baseball team. So they beat up on the Pirates, which helped them quite a bit. Greinke's been fantastic for them. The offense has been decent. Overall, the offense is good. It's not a problem. There are some pitching problems with starting pitching depth, and that's where you come in. Now, here's the thing. Here's the problem. You can't wait until the trade deadline to address the area of starting pitching depth. And no. Mike Hazen won't. There will be a move somewhere, somehow, to get starting pitching depth somewhere. Whether they sign somebody off the scrap heap, I don't know if they could afford a Dallas Keuchel, or they trade. Hazen's too good of a GM to sit there and not make a move for a starting pitcher or to try to wait this thing out and get through. They just don't have enough ammunition. Duplantier and Taylor Clark are options, but you need more. So that's why I do expect that at some point within the next few weeks, they'll probably swing some kind of deal somewhere with somebody for more pitching depth.
I read a great stat about the Diamondbacks today. They are the only team in Major League Baseball that has an overall winning record, but a losing record at home. They're the only one.
They went 4-6 on that road.
I think Nick Pecora over at AZ Central added it up. There are 14 teams that have a winning record right now in Major League Baseball. None of them have a losing record at home except for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Look, when you talk, all I can hear, I don't hear Dallas Keuchel in my head. That's like thinking about the Suns getting Malcolm Brogdon. It's shopping at a store that you're not, you don't.
That's an expensive store.
That's an expensive store. I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to go shopping in there. They need to find, and this is so much easier said than done, who's the 2019 version of Clay Buchholz? Who's that guy that you get, that you've evaluated, that you say you can get for cheap, that isn't going to, that you take a flyer on, because there's no question they need that guy. Now, I haven't done any research on the names. I couldn't tell you who that guy could possibly be. I have no idea. I have no idea. But a move like that wouldn't damage your farm system, wouldn't cripple your ability to contend 2 years from now. You'd be hoping to get a major addition on a minor move, because that's exactly what Clay Buchholz was last year. That was a minor move at the time. Who in the hell thought Clay Buchholz was going to be that good last year?
Right.
He ended up being, what, the second most reliable guy they had down at the stretch? The third most reliable guy they had down at, maybe third behind Greinke, Corbin, and Clay Buchholz. Robbie Ray was reliable towards the end, but it took him all season to get there, and he was hurt a big chunk of last year. They, and I'm sure they've got a list somewhere in their offices, they got to find 2019's Clay Buchholz. That's what this team
is. Man, that's not easy.
Nope, it's not easy. And I would give you a suggestion. I don't have any. I don't have a name to give you. I don't know who that guy is. I don't. I have no idea who is out there that you could possibly make that addition with. I don't
know. I'm looking. I don't know either. I mean, I don't know. James Shields? He's signed. I don't know if he's signed anywhere. There's got to be a guy. There's got to be somebody you could bring in. But if Keuchel wants that big money, I just don't know that, you know, he would have to literally take a lot less for the Diamondbacks to be able to afford him.
Derek Hall talked about this topic last week on the Doug and Wolf show. When do you start thinking about being buyers?
Yeah, it's really tough to pinpoint, as you know, Doug, because it has a lot to do with where you are in your division. And you can see, as well as you're playing, you know, you look up and the Dodgers are already 4.5 games ahead of you. And they, you know, they plan to run away with this thing. You have to look at the rest of the division, how likely it is that you are in the race to make it to the postseason.
And even Derek acknowledged that right now, and again, this was a week ago, but they're kind of stuck in the middle.
You know, rarely do we say, as you guys know, and maybe it's a fault of ours, rarely do we say sell. But going into the season, we had all said it's going to be an interesting season because it could go really one of two ways. We don't think it could go right down the middle, and right now we're sort of down the middle, but more towards the win and buy, and we'll see what happens. But it could go two different ways. It was short, that short bridge, that connector to the talent that we see coming up here, and we didn't see a need for a complete rebuild, but you also have the ability to make changes if you need to if the season wasn't going well. We haven't experienced that at all. You know, it's been a wonderful season.
There have only been a couple of years they've had where they've been very obvious sellers, right?
Right.
Very obvious sellers. And I don't think this year is going to be that year. I don't think there's going to, which makes the Zach Greinke question that much more fascinating.
I'm not going there with Greinke. I'm not.
Even if something horrible happens and they become obvious sellers in the next month
sellers
and a half?
To me, Adam Jones, Greg Holland, Gerard Dyson, maybe a Robbie Ray. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm not going to go back on this. I'm not trading Greinke. I'm not trading him. He's too good. I'm not trading Greinke. I'm keeping the ace. And hoping that I just don't think that Hazen's the type that's ever going to have a team that's, you know, going to win 70 baseball games. I think that they'll always find a way to be somewhat competitive. And if they're going to be competitive, you might as well have an ace pitcher in Zach Greinke.
Yeah, I can live with that. I think that's fair. If they do have to buy, Derek Hall says they've got an owner who's willing to do
it. The fortunate thing is, you know, we have an owner in Ken who has always said, if we're there and you need something, you know, we're going to do all we can to stretch it and provide the resources to Mike and company to make sure that we can compete.
But where are they going to be a month from now? What does that look like? I mean, last year they were very much in it, and they made move after move after move. And the only two that really impacted the roster were Eduardo Escobar and Brad Ziegler.
Traded, I believe, it was 8 or 9 prospects.
Yeah, nobody who is super
nobody great.
High
Perez
on the
kid
list.
Is the backup catcher with Tampa, I believe. Like they didn't, but they did. They traded 8 or 9 prospects to go get, you know, Andrees and was it Diekman?
Yep.
And it didn't work out for them. But I see this year's roster, and I see a lot of guys that you could move 4 or 5 guys on this team if you're out of it. Guys that are on 1 year deals that a team may look at and say, okay, I'll take that guy for the structured run. May not get a lot from, but you'll get something.
Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. You're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Akshin Pavilion on September 13th. Listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to win. Suns will officially introduce Monty Williams as their new head coach tomorrow, but today we got an early present from one of the Suns' biggest rivals. Thank you, Magic Johnson. Thank you, Rob Pelinka. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Incredibly disappointing display of the lack of leadership in the Lakers organization. A lack of leadership from owner Jeannie Buss, who agreed to hire a guy who basically said, I want to do this job part-time. A lack of leadership from Magic Johnson, even thinking he could do the job part-time.
This is a bad, bad, bad day for the Los Angeles Lakers. Magic Johnson basically said, you got something for me behind my back, Rob Pelinka? I got something for you, too. Let me show the world how you can't be trusted. That's basically what Magic did on national television. I did not know he was going to do that.
This
I can't believe you don't know the OJs.
I don't know this song from the OJs. Love Train, I know. I don't know this song.
Man, the OJs were the bomb back in the day.
And when I say burn, baby, burn, I don't mean literally. I'm talking figuratively when it comes to the LA Lakers. But as a Forever Suns fan,
yes,
Phoenix Suns are my first
love. Don't want
people
think that you're going to go burn down the Lakers building.
We're not. No pitchforks, no torches, no physical property damage or anything like that. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But if you're talking about the LA Lakers figuratively burning today, oh, burn, baby, burn.
Man, burn. Magic. Yeah, Magic took that blowtorch out.
Yes, he did.
Right at Rob Pelinka. Here you go, buddy.
Yes,
take this.
Yes, he did.
You guys forced me out. I mean, listen, from what Magic described, and trust me, this was totally like coordinated. Oh, you got to do a press conference with the new head coach today. Yeah, I'm going to go on one of the ESPN morning shows about 3 hours beforehand and just trash you guys. And basically, it was just Pelinka. He just wanted to trash Pelinka. Now, you can say this about Magic. I mean, honestly, like, You probably shouldn't have done that. Like, you probably shouldn't air your dirty laundry.
No.
You had a problem with the guy. It didn't work out. You resigned. That should be it, right? That should be it. But Magic, being Magic, is like, yeah, hell no, dude. I'm Magic Johnson. You're not getting away with that.
Sure.
You're not getting away with that.
Sure.
And he went at him.
I wouldn't want whoever the Phoenix equivalent is for whatever team of Magic Johnson, whoever that is, I wouldn't want him doing this to one of our local teams.
No.
Make for great conversation on the radio, but oh my God, can you imagine the trouble if some emeritus type person with some organization came out and said, yeah, everything was going fine when I was working there, except so-and-so stabbed me in the back and was trying to get my job. It would suggest the highest dysfunction possible of an organization. And man, I will give you credit. I will give you credit like the day is long. Monty Williams is going to get introduced tomorrow at 10:30 at a press conference as the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. There was a time when you and I discussed and debated Monty Williams coming here, and I was of the belief that the Suns situation was just more dysfunctional than LA. And brother, I was wrong.
It's not even close.
I was wrong. That
the
LA
Suns look like the model of stability compared to the Lakers.
I wouldn't go that far, but LA is a mess, especially when Magic Johnson goes on First Take this morning. Remember, he walked away from the team, didn't tell anybody he was going to do it, just walked away from the team. What is it? The day of the season finale, right? Wasn't the day of the end of the regular season? I think the Lakers were getting ready to play their regular season finale that night when he just walked away, didn't tell anybody he was doing it. Just threw Rob Pelinka right under the bus today on First Take.
And then I start hearing, you know, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on.
Too many people had a say in the decisions, said Magic.
I didn't like that Tim Harris was too involved in basketball. He's supposed to run the Laker business, but he was trying to come over to our side. Jeannie's got to stop that. It's too many people at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, everybody gets to share their opinion, and it's so much information coming at her that then when I say, hey, we have to do this, she can't make a decision because they said, no, don't go the way Magic go. You should go
other
left.
Other people already got
right.
to her
exactly.
and in the back of her mind. Yeah.
So her love for those people and respect for those people often caused us to not make the right choice or there's no decision. And so I said, listen, you can't run a corporation like this. You can't have everybody think that they can have a voice or opinion about the final decision.
Burn it down, Magic. Burn it down. This Forever Suns fan has never liked you more than I like you right now. And I grew up hating Magic Johnson. Hey, respecting his talent, but hating him because he was always so good and just that much better than the Suns. I don't think I've ever liked Magic Johnson as much as I do today. Man, burn it to the ground,
Here's the question I have.
Go get
okay,
him.
So you've got this guy, Rob Pelinka, who's literally got a... I mean, he's got to try to salvage this somehow, right? He's got to try to salvage it.
Yes.
He's got to be able to sit there and say, well, that's not all true, and I'd like to sit down with Magic, and I'd like to talk about it. Meanwhile, he probably was stabbing him in the back. I mean, there's probably some truth to what Magic's saying. Pat Riley said Magic's going to speak his mind. But if you're a free agent, and you're looking at the Lakers right now, And you're like, that guy right there, that guy that's running, you stabbed Magic Johnson in the back? I can't play for you. I can't sign with you. Do you know how bad it looks? Like, Magic Johnson's iconic. I go sign with you, Rob Pelinka. Does it? You did Magic dirty. I can't play for you.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers are out. Like, for most players, it's going to be hard to play for the Lakers because you're going to look at that situation and be like, oh, that guy did Magic dirty. I can't go there.
I'll be really curious to see if any of the big names, the big names, this free agent cycle, the Kevin Durants, the Kyrie Irvings, the whomever, if they end up at all with the Lakers. Because of the Lakers, if the Lakers come out of this free agency or this trade season and they don't get any of the big fish at all, LeBron James, I mean, he's probably already with half an eye looking around like, man, what the hell am I doing?
I know. He made a terrible mistake.
Why the hell am I here? What have I done? Why am I here? And if they come out of this summer and they've not significantly added a major piece to the roster, LeBron James, it's only a matter of time until his ego alone tears apart the fabric of that organization. Whatever fabric is left in that organization.
Oh my God. LeBron is just such a, like LeBron's almost a non-story. Like, LeBron sitting back, man, I thought I brought drama.
Yeah.
Woo! Man. I mean, drama's these guys' middle name.
No doubt.
It's going to get worse.
Rob Pelinka, today you said it was perfectly timed. It was. Today was the day they were introducing Frank Vogel. Rob Pelinka said the comments from Magic are simply not true.
Truly, it's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things that are a misperception. I think all of us in life probably have been through things where maybe there's third-party whispers or he said, she said things that aren't true. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true.
Yeah, have fun with that, Rob. Let me know how that works out for you. Magic Johnson again today on First Take. My favorite soundbite of the day. Did anybody beside Pelinka stab you in the back?
No, just Rob.
Yeah, no, just him. He was the only one.
There's a story on, it's not an accident Magic Johnson was on First Take today, Jalen Rose.
No, of course not.
Like, it's not an accident. It's almost like Magic wants, I'm going to make sure that you guys don't do well while I'm gone. You're going to fail, so this guy, it's like, I need to get this guy fired. Magic's goal right now is to get Pelinka fired or have him resign. And when Pelinka can't lure anybody to come play for the Lakers, he might have no choice. They might have to say, listen, it's like, this isn't going to work. Like, there's too much damage done right now.
Now, our friend Ramona Shelburne, who we've had on the show many, many times, she said something very interesting today on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles.
They asked Magic that several times in phone calls between him directly with Jeannie Buss, at the private dinner he had with Jeannie Buss. Like, the question was flat out asked, is there anything we should know about your decision to step down? Is there anything we should know? Right? What is this backstabbing you refer to? What is the tweet on April 25th where you say the truth will come out? What is that? What is that all referring to, Magic? And he never told them anything.
And I trust Ramona, and the fact that she's reporting that and saying that leads me to believe that this is not 100% Magic Johnson being some sort of an angel here.
Oh, no way.
In terms of, man, I was stabbed in the back and I could never get anything done. There were too many cooks in the kitchen.
That's your job as the GM.
If you really felt that way, all right, go tell your boss. You know, if I feel a certain way about you or Jordan or Sarah or this show, and I say it here on the show without saying it to the guy who signs my checks in the other room, that's irresponsible. That's not cool.
If he wasn't,
that's not cool.
Listen, a GM has to deal with players, agents, posses, family, media, owners, assistant GMs. Like, your job, GM's responsibilities are very, very wide. And so this is all part of it. Like, this, what's going on there? But you got to be able to take care of this. Like, that's your job. Like, okay, there's friction. And this guy said, well, you need to be able to get into a room and get this ironed out and fix it.
Sure.
And if you've got a guy that's untrustworthy on your staff, you need to have support from ownership that this guy's got to go because he's undermining what we're trying to do.
Right.
But that ultimately, this is Magic's job, was to keep all of this organized.
Yes.
And he wasn't able to do it.
Was to make Rob Pelinka do the job in a way that he wanted the job done. And Magic was, for whatever reason, unwilling to. I think he thought Jeannie was going to do that for him, and She didn't. And so he just quit without telling anybody. And then he went on national TV today and told everybody why he quit without telling anybody. It's not a great look for Magic Johnson either, which, again, is why I love it so much.
I know.
I love it
I know.
So much.
6 years in counting, not just, going to the playoffs. But yet, awesome. Rob Pelinka thinks they could compete for a championship next year. And they got a lot to offer.
He's
got
to say that. He's got no choice but to say that. He's required. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? If you subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android, you'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Patrick Peterson, not the only Cardinals veteran to not show up at OTAs today. How big of a deal is it that some very key pieces just weren't there? That's next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. You're very fortunate to be tuned in right now at 5:47 in the afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The world premiere. Gambo's been touting it all day long. He's been so excited.
I got a new favorite song. I do. I have a new favorite song.
You're lucky enough if you're in your car right now to hear a cut.
You may want to actually put this on your Spotify or whatever you have. I think it haven't worked out to it yet. Haven't run to it yet, but I think I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to add this.
I'm literally.
You ever heard of Ava Max? No?
No, I have not.
Never heard of
Ava Max. No, I've never heard of her.
All right.
All right. You going to play it for me?
Yeah, here it is.
Okay, let me see.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. She'll make you curse, see you blessing. She'll rip your shirt
within a second.
You'll be coming back,
back for seconds
with your play.
Can I use this opportunity to make an announcement? May I?
You like it?
Can I make an announcement?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, absolutely. Your journey into your midlife crisis is officially complete. You are officially there. You don't need the sports car. You don't need the motorcycle. If you're listening to this song, you're officially in the full throes of a midlife crisis.
Yep. I'm on my mind.
52-year-old man bebopping to this song.
Yeah. I'm hip and hop, you're not, man.
I think you're
sweet but a psycho.
Yeah, we need to talk about that a little bit. Who are we referring to in this show? Are you talking about me? Are you talking about Sarah? Who? I'm a little worried about who is the psycho.
I freaking love this song.
Ah, good for you.
That's sweet but a psycho.
I am not going to be Spotify.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho. A little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm a mama out of my mind.
Who sings this again?
Oh, she's hot but a psycho.
Ava Max.
Have you started to sample any of her other musical styling?
No, I just like this song. Oh, this is cool. Like, I love this song. My wife, I'm in a truck with my wife all weekend, and this is the stuff she listens to.
Right.
So my wife was like listening to this, and I'm like, I really like this. Yeah. So I put it on my Spotify, and I'm like, this is a cool tune.
Mid-period life period crisis.
Why? Why does this have to be a midlife crisis?
Because you never would have heard this song if not for your wife. When would you ever be exposed to this song?
No, I wouldn't be listening to music like this.
No. If you love it. I love it. I'm owning it. You know what? Absolutely own it. This
sweet
is your song,
but a psycho.
Baby. Yes.
I'm not saying like I know anybody like this. I'm just saying I like this song.
Fantastic. This is... Own it, man. Fly that freak flag.
Jordan, you like it?
It's not my style.
No. What?
It's not my cup of tea.
But you've heard it.
I have heard of it, yes.
Okay, see?
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. I will not be adding this to my Apple Music anytime soon.
It's my new top song right now.
Yeah, all right.
Sweet, but a psycho.
Gambo taking you into the insights of his world, sharing with you what his top song is. Cliff Kingsbury talking about the vets who were not there today, the first day of OTAs. That would include Patrick Peterson, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Suggs was not there today.
That's all part of it. I mean, it's voluntary, and we understand that. And so if guys miss, we have a plan to get them caught up.
Do they communicate to you ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah. There's been great communication in that regard.
If a guy calls Cliff Kingsbury and says, hey, coach, no disrespect, I ain't coming. I want to take this week off. It's voluntary, and I'll get my work in at home. Is that acceptable? Is that cool? Is that, I mean, I know it's by the letter of the law, it certainly is.
Yeah, you got no choice. It's like you got no choice. Like, okay, you can't do anything about it. Like, I wish you were here. I'm installing a new system. I got new coaches. We got new players. And half the damn roster's new. Yeah, I wish you were here. Now, listen, these guys can come and go. Like, you could show up for one of them or two of them or three of them. Like, it's not, like, because there's three different voluntary workout schedules. And they're each, like, 3 days before the mandatory minicamp, which everybody has to be at or they can get fined. So just because the guy's not there today doesn't mean, like, I'm not coming to any of them. I'm out for all 9 or 10 of them. I'm out. They still might show up for a couple of them. We have to see. Right now, we know who the guys are weren't there. I would hope that some of these guys show up for a few of them. Hey, let's, you know, just show support and be there and, you know, help the coach out and the quarterback out and the new players out and just be there. I would hope that they would be.
And I would think, and this is just a guess, I think Cliff Kingsbury's status as kind of a newbie, first-time head coach. Like, I think if Bruce Arians were still the coach of the Cardinals, and I realize we're 2 years gone from that now, but if Bruce Arians were still coach of the Cardinals, I would imagine he would be a lot less tolerant of guys not being there for voluntary OTAs, and he might have even said something about
it. So this is like the new teacher, and I'm going to establish the rules now? As a player, I'm going to establish I'm not coming to these things?
I just think Bruce would have had the juice. Didn't mean to rhyme there, but I think Bruce would have had the juice to be able to say, yeah, I'm disappointed that this guy isn't here and that guy isn't there, and I wish this guy was here because he's got to learn this scheme, and these guys, man, competition for the roster starts today. I'd have to go back in time and listen to what Bruce Arians said 2 years ago and see what he said about guys who weren't there, but I would guess he would have the kind of juice to be able to say, yeah, I kind of wish David Johnson were here. Yeah, I kind of wish Larry Fitzgerald were here. They should be here. They should be learning this stuff. Kingsbury doesn't have the juice yet to be able to say that. He's got to say what he said. Hey, totally voluntary. We get it. As long as you communicate to me that you're not going to be here. This is a guy who's got cell phone breaks built into his team meetings. All right. If a guy's going to, if a 16, 17 year vet is going to say, hey man, sorry, I'm not going to make it today to voluntary OTAs. King, what's a first year head coach who's never been in the league a day in his life going to say?
Okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not
that's
much
cool.
You could say.
When do you think you'll be here? Next week? Next Tuesday? Next Wednesday? Okay. Thanks for letting me know. Just let me know what your plans are. That's all he can do. He doesn't have the juice to be able to say anything else at this point. He's a first time head coach.
No, I mean, and look at the players. Fitz, Hall of Famer. Suggs, Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Peterson, potential Hall of Famer. Like, you know, like.
Exactly.
I mean, these guys are, yeah.
Exactly.
Again. The thing that I want to see more than anything is, when it's all said and done, did these guys take all of them off? I'm not coming to any of these voluntary things. Now, older players, your body, like, these are some of the things, like, hey, I'll play another season, but I'm not doing those things. I don't need that to get me ready. But with a new coach, you would think that, okay, I need to be there to help the new coach.
And with Fitz, I get it. With Suggs, I get it. David Johnson's wife just had a baby. I get it. Peterson, for everything he said on Thursday night at his charity event, the actions of him showing up today would have been 10 times more impactful and 10 times louder had he showed up today for OTAs, rather than any apology he could have crafted on Thursday night before his charity event. Show up.
But he admitted, I mean, he came right out and said, I'm not going to be there for these.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did. It just, it would have been a really good look. Time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening. D-backs baseball coming up at 7 o'clock. We've got a very short edition of the Rundown with Luke Lipinski up next. Don't forget the Monty Williams press conference tomorrow.
Carrying it live.
10:30 here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. I believe he's going on with Bickley and Murata shortly after the press conference as well. So we'll have lots and lots to react to there as well when it comes to the Suns. D-backs Padres tonight as well. We're out of here. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone. Good night to you.